man, I loved what Jody was sharing. And today I want to talk about the passion of God. Do you know, how many of you remember the Passion Play over in Spearfish? That was pretty famous, wasn't it, for a long time? And I got to be honest, as a kid, most of us as kids didn't know every word and every meaning and everything. I never could figure out why they called it the Passion Play. You know, it's about the sufferings of Jesus, you know, the cross and all that. And it wasn't until I got older and read the scriptures that I realized that passion plays because it was the sufferings of Jesus. The word passion means sufferings. And most of the time it means suffering evil, but it doesn't always mean that. That's what's interesting. The word for passion there also means to experience life, to experience things. And so it's not always negative. So when Jesus said to Paul, he said, I'm going to show you the things you must suffer. It wasn't, as Jody was sharing, it wasn't just saying you're going to have a bad life. The word can be absolutely divine. I'm going to show you the things you're going to get to experience and feel. I was holding my little granddaughter this week, she was just enjoying being with me, I think. I'm going to say that. And she reached up and grabbed my little finger and held on to it. And I was sitting in the kitchen, or standing in the kitchen here here at the church, and she just held my finger, and I just had to say, wow, what an awesome thing to feel the human touch of a little baby, or anybody. But here's a baby that's totally dependent, you know, I don't know what's going on in her little head and brain, but there's a lot. But it's not like she goes, oh, this is my papa. He's a pastor. I'm so proud of you. I don't think that's going on in her head. She just reached out and grabbed my finger and held it. And I tell you what, it felt awesome. And I finally just decided I'm just going to stand here and feel this for a while, as long as she'll hold. And I thought, here's this incredible energy and great feeling, hard to express, coming from a little child that is still just such a little infant, with the potential of becoming an adult that will touch thousands of people and will. And I thought, this is part of this word passion. You get to experience things. You get to feel it. You get to be, you know, and of course, the greatest gift God ever gave us is we get to exist. So I want to talk about the passion of Christ and of our Heavenly Father. And to begin with that, I'm just going to say that when you get born again, born from above, you become a spiritual being. We've talked about that. And the Bible says that you and I were all born in wrath. We are all born in anger. We are all born in fleshly desires. You know, no matter how good you are throughout your whole life, the nature of the human nature of a human being after the fall of Adam is rooted in anger, resentment, fears, anxieties, lustful things, evil things. And that's not to put us all down. It's just saying that's what happened when Adam messed up, man. That came into our nature. That was our nature. It's amazing to me how good most people are and how most people won't act on those things. And I think that's just the grace and the mercy of God on all of us. But in comparison, and the Bible says we were dead in our sins. We didn't have any hope. We weren't really alive and connected to all that he had for us. But when Christ came and died, and when we believe in him, we're born from above then, and we have this whole new life inside of us, and the nature of that new life is all perfect and blameless and spotless, and there is no darkness in your spiritual man. There is no darkness. There is You know, I think when Jesus said, Satan's coming and he has nothing in me, you know, you get to say that too. People say, well, I just felt like Satan was really after me this week. Well, he has nothing in you. He has no avenue in you. He has no, there's no darkness in you that he's trying to pull out. I'm talking about your new man. Your old man, boy, he can really fire it up if you let him, but there's no darkness. And I was listening to Andrew, and I liked the way he said this the other day. He says, and Andrew really does live this out, I would say, Andrew Womack in front of you. He just goes, you know, when I feel discouragement or fear, he says, I just know that's my old man. And I just refuse it and say, my spiritual man, my new man doesn't have any fear, doesn't have any of those feelings. I'm just going to ignore you. And he literally does. And it's a powerful thing. You can grow in this to where you can actually, you know, here's the deal. If you go, man, I'm just so discouraged. And we all can get there, right? Well, that's okay. And it's not even wrong to say it if you say it kind of like with this, the intent of your heart. My old man is really discouraged. My fleshly man is fearful right now. But I have a new man. And I'm going to put my focus on the new man. It's not denying that you're not afraid. It's not denying that you're not wrong things in your heart. It's just saying that I acknowledge that I've got a sarcastic bent too. I want to mouth off. I want to tell somebody off. I've got anger and all that. I acknowledge that, but that's my old man, and I'm going to live in the new man. And I'm going to put off the old one, and I'm going to put on the new one. And the new one, and this is so good. It is so fun to get rid of fear. You know, I go to my hot tub quite often, and I also live out in the woods. And there's been times when I've got in my hot tub, and there's a mountain lion screaming not too far away. And they got quite a voice. You know, and I think I showed it with you, share it with you once, but one time that old mountain lion screamed, and I thought it was pretty close, sounded like it's over by my dad, and I just thought I'll just scream back, and so I screamed like a mountain lion, you know, and I wasn't afraid at all, man. I just stood in that hot tub and screamed back, and it screamed back at me, and then I thought, I don't know what I've said. Doesn't really matter my intent. I don't know what that lion heard because they scream when they have a territorial issue. So I thought that's not good. If he thinks I'm a competition, or they scream when they want a mate, and I thought that's not good either. I don't want him coming over sniffing around the hot tub, you know, whatever. Anyway, it's just, but when fear grips you sometimes, and I tell you, there's times that it does out there, But I tell you, this is so real, just to say, I acknowledge that fear, my flesh man, but I acknowledge that my spirit man has no fear. And I'm telling you, when you speak that out, and when you think that, and when you acknowledge that, I tell you what, it busts that fear. I literally have felt that, and you know, that heartbeat going up and everything else, just come calming down. Sometimes it takes me a little longer than other times. But it works. Your brand new man has no fear. In life, think about this. In life, what does fear do for you? And there's a movie, and one of the lines is, fear profits a man nothing. But fear will steal from you. Amen? And I look at these kids playing sports and adults and all of us, you know, and I look at businesses and all and everything else, and I think, man, I tell you what, when you got fear in your life, it does not profit you, and it will steal from you, and it'll keep you from going forward. And is this exactly what Jody was saying? Man, I'm calling you up here. God's calling us up here. And one of the things that keeps us from getting up to where we're supposed to be is fear. You know, that fear of what people think of you is a horrible one, isn't it? And a lot of times, the most sarcastic kids in high school and the rest of their life, the ones that like to mouth off, the ones that are people who are very insecure in themselves. And their fears cause them to react to other people in a negative way. And so, And then there's just the fear of, well, somebody makes fun of me. And think about this. When you let the fear of man come into your life, think about that. It'll always steal from you the life of God, the plan of God. Always. He'll keep you from moving. He'll keep you he'll get you to go the wrong direction. He'll keep you from, fear of business, fear in everyday life, fear as a parent, fear as a child. I tell you, it's just not good. And your spiritual man, remember this, perfect love cast out fear, and God's perfect love in your heart, and as you acknowledge that, will literally push that fear out of your life. Now, most of the time when we teach here, we're teaching about the kingdom of God, and we're teaching that the kingdom of God is inside you and in your heart, and so we focus on that. I've said for a long time, I'm not a groupie person. I like to just jump on trends or whatever else. I like the fact that I am a child of God. It's between my Father and I and Him. But the kingdom of God is also including all of our hearts. We're a team. It's also a team effort. Now, to be on a team and to help win, each player must come prepared. They must be trained and they must be equipped. And their intent and their passion will make a difference on the whole team. You know, I've watched all my kids play all these years. And with Nathan, he was in soccer and he was usually in defense. But, man, I remember when the passion, and remember passion is actually referring to sometimes suffering. So here's the deal. Passion is not how excited you get on the sidelines jumping up and down. I mean, we say, oh, aren't they passionate? Oh, yeah, they're all for winning. But passion, really, if you want to know who's passionate, is find out who will put skin on the ground. Find out who will press through when everybody else wants to quit. It's how much will you suffer? How convinced are you about wanting the victory that you'll lay it down? So I remember with Nathan, one of the things was the ball would be coming in the back there, you know, and they're ready to break through. And I don't know how he did it, but out of nowhere, he'd come up, jump incredibly high, and head that ball. And I've seen it where the ball was come flying in so hard, and he hit it, and at least to this day says, I don't know how he's got any brain cells left. Bam! Man, I tell you what, he did have a lot of concussions. But it's like, how much are you willing? How much are you convinced about winning? Individually and then corporately. Jody, boy, when she got fired up on the soccer field, then she just started going through and you just see girls on the ground. Most of the time she didn't get yellow cards. Sometimes. But it wasn't just the energy, the enthusiasm. It was what we do. For Chase and basketball, I can't tell you how many times the team was starting to lose. And he'd go flying through the air, slide on the ground, grab the ball when it's just about to go out, throw it back to his teammate and hit the bleachers. And Brody just did that the other day at a soccer game, went down, hit the bleachers and got 12 staples in his head. But here's what I'm saying. So often that would turn the game around. It had an effect on the whole team. When one person says, this is worth winning, I'm laying my life down for it. I'll go for it. The passion of Christ is this. It's really the passion of God Himself. And God Himself says, I want to win this one. And I will suffer and give my ultimate next to God Himself done. I don't know. That's a really theological thing, hard to grasp in it, but He did die. He gave His life for us. That's the passion of God. Couldn't give any more. Now, Billy Epperhart was teaching on this the other day. Billy is a CEO, I think, of Andrew Ministries. I think that's his official title, but he's handling almost all the finances. Billy was a pastor, but he's also a brilliant businessman, very, very, very capable, very, very great. And it's kind of fun when you meet these guys, you know, in their 50s or whatever else, and then you get to talking to them and you find out, like, Dwayne Sheriff, he's another one of the speakers down there, that he was this close to becoming a professional tennis player. And you don't always see that kind of passion. You don't know about their past. Well, Billy Epperhart, I didn't know this about him, but he was really good at baseball. And he said they're in a major game. It's a final thing or whatever else. And his coach comes out to the pitch, and he was pitching, and comes out to Billy, and he says, we need you to really pitch these guys out. Billy says, okay, what do I do? He says, show me your fastball. And so Billy held up his hand the way he holds a fastball. I'm not a baseball player, but he just held it up. And his coach just looked at him and he says, okay, move that 1/8 of an inch. Put your fingers on the other side of the threads. And so he turned the ball just 1/8 of an inch. He says, now throw the fastballs. Struck out the next three guys. I like those stories, don't you? The wisdom of a coach, the obedience of a player, the intent of the heart, the willingness to change. And so often, it's not a major flip, it's just an 1/8 of an inch difference. Won the championship. I like that. Let me ask you a question. Each player on a team has to be prepared, has to train, has to become equipped, and has to have their own passion. But as a team, let me ask you this. Who suffers the most? Who suffers the most when we don't ask and don't seek and don't knock and don't believe enough to speak the truth? When we walk in the flesh, when we don't walk in the authority that Jesus gave to us and commanded us to use in our daily lives to experience and to learn and to know by experience the victory in Christ, who suffers the most? See, somebody that's not very passionate will say, it's okay, I don't care if I win. It's not a big deal to me. That's all right, I'm not really into it. Well, that's great, but that's your loss. But as a body of Christ, we're members of one of another. If each of us don't win in the kingdom of God, it affects not just you, but it affects all the kingdom, it affects everybody in the kingdom, all over the world. Your part is critical. Well, I just don't believe that. That's the problem. Well, I just can't see how my little effort can make any difference. That's the problem. You're trusting in your own self instead of your coach who just says, hold up your best shot. Let me adjust this. I want you to know you can win this game for the team. The passion of Christ. How he laid it all down. When he said, is there another way? No, there isn't. And once he found out there was no other way, he said, okay, I'm all in. This is going to get done. I'm going to do it. And now for us in the kingdom of God, who suffers the most when you and I are willing to take second, third, fourth, fifth place instead of shooting for the best? And this is not condemnation, like Jody said. It's just, hey, I want to, let's all rise up. I'm preaching to myself. There's something bigger going on than just our little life here. There's something going on that's way more than just having a good life and going. You know, there's times that I feel so bad because I look at what people have suffered in the past and what people are suffering today for their faith. You know, I'm sorry, but there's a whole lot of Iranians that have literally given their life because they believe in Jesus. And once in a while, I just weep and feel bad. And sometimes it causes me to walk in my flesh more. What do I mean by that? Sometimes it just takes the air out of me and it's like, who am I to demand anything? I've been blessed all my life. I can live with, have you ever said I can live without that? Have you ever had your spouse say we can live without that? And somehow it seemed right, didn't it? You can suffer. You don't need that. And that might be the case on some things. But, you know, we can take that over. I can take that over when I see the sufferings of people now and in the past. And I feel so blessed that I just want to say, man, I'm just so blessed. I don't want to ask for anything. I'm just so blessed, I don't want to knock on any door. I'm so blessed, I just can't. I'm embarrassed to say, bless me, Lord. And I'm asking you, who suffers the most when John Williamson says, I'm so blessed that I don't need to press on. I'm very happy with who. I don't need anything. Who suffers the most? The kingdom. And who's the king of the kingdom? Jesus. And when you and I back off because of our fear, because of our hurts and our pains, man, we all get hurt. We've all got sorrows. We've all got disappointments. But all that stuff is in the old man, by the way. Your new man does not suffer from disappointment. Your new man does not have hurts and pains of the past that's causing it to not live. Your new man now can affect your heart who has been wounded and lift that heart up out of that discouragement, out of that disappointment, out of that failure, out of those ashes and come up strong. Why? Because the King of Kings was so passionate that he laid his life down so that you and I could have life in every area and every moment. And my Heavenly Father has been talking to me, I'm sure he's talking to you, and just saying, please, don't back off. Because he's got a plan. He's got a goal. Our King has a plan and he has a goal. Let me read you a few scriptures. Out of Acts 1, it says, 1 through 3, it says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. I don't know, I wanted to say, isn't it awesome? Jesus, before he was taken up, by the Holy Spirit, gave instruction and orders to his apostles. Boy, we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus moved in that by the Holy Spirit. What a team player here. And I'll go on. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, his passion, by many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. In Luke 22, it says this, when the hour had come, he reclined at the table, the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, before I enter my passion. For I say to you, I'll never eat again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. By the way, when's the next time you know you ate? The fish on the sea. Hallelujah. Greg Moore is another one of the teachers and pastors that we first met when we got down to Andrew Womack's. And the very first year we were there, he and his wife were there. A guy, Pastor Bob, had sponsored them because Greg Moore and his wife are pastoring their church, and somebody within their church sued him for about $1.5 million back in the early 1990s. They were devastated. They were going to court. It was big time stress, and they came to those meetings, and man, it was awesome. I'll just tell you this, man, when David Duell laid hands on them, they got laid out in the spirit of God. She started laughing in the spirit. She has one of the most chicken cackling laughs you've ever heard in your life. Very distinct, nobody like it. And they were there laughing. But anyway, this is what was going on in their life at that time. And Greg was just sharing the other day, I saw him on the internet, and he was just sharing that during that time, there's a lady stood up in their church and said, I have a word from the Lord. And Greg said, go ahead and share it. And he said, well, it's 1 Timothy 5:8, and it says this, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Greg heard that, and his heart just sunk, because he didn't have enough money to feed his family. It was looking like he wasn't going to have anything for his family. And here's this beautiful word coming, you know. And I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? And he said, my heart just kind of sunk. And he said, then the lady finally said, and that's not all of it. I love it. Don't you love the Holy Ghost? Don't you love the way he knows how to coach us? He knows how to bring us in emotionally to the place that he can touch our heart and empower us. Brings us, sets us up for victory. Show me your fastball. Let's just adjust that a little bit. And the next words from the Spirit of God was, and if God will never require something from you that he does not fulfill himself. And all of a sudden that word went from condemning Greg that he wasn't able to take care of his household to the reality that God is saying, I will take care of my own. I'll take care of you because you're my house. And by the way, we watched that whole thing all flip it during that time in the early 90s. God came through and all that lawsuit and everything else that came out. 1 Corinthians says this, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Most of the time, I always heard that and just all I could do is feel condemned that I wasn't glorifying God in my body. I tell you what, we look at so many things the wrong way. He's telling us who we are. We are his, and we are not our own, and he bought us and redeemed us. Hallelujah. Paul said this in Acts 26:14. It says, and when he had fallen to the ground, Paul, you remember, he's on the road, Damascus, on the road, this bright light came and spoke to him. It said, and we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. And I said to him, who are you, Lord? It's interesting that he knew it was Lord, but he didn't know who he was. Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. but get up and stand on your feet. Oh, man, I love this stuff. Man, he'll set you up for victory. You come in his presence and your body will just fall to the ground because there's no energy in it in the presence of the Lord. You'll fall and you all your boasting, all Paul's passion for persecuting the church and persecuting Jesus, all of it just fell to the ground and there was nothing. He set him up for victory and then he says, "Now stand to your feet, Saul." Oh, and man, when he spoke those words, Paul could stand. When Jesus speaks words to you, it puts power inside you. And he stood. But get up and stand to your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you later. By the way, I think Paul spent a whole bunch of years with Jesus appearing to him in the desert, teaching him the stuff that we needed to know so they could write those truths down. Hallelujah. God's got a game plan. Ephesians 1:10 says this, "With view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth." God's got a game plan. This passion took Jesus to the cross, took him to the grave, and experienced that suffering. But then he also experienced what? The victory. Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. He now establishes the kingdom. He, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he talks to his apostles and says, "Here's the game plan. Go. All authority has been given to me. Heaven and earth. Go." You know, that word "go" is interesting. Because sometimes we think, well, that means we need to go to Africa or something like that. It actually means in your goings, in your daily life. It also can mean this, one who has gone. And so it could be actually what Jesus was saying. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, and I'm leaving. Therefore, go make disciples. What he's saying is, all authorities are given to me. I'm leaving, and you're going to be going and living, and you need to take my authority and go build the kingdom. That's a good coach coaching. The good coach's Billy Epphart said, basically, without saying anything, said, "I believe in you. You got this. Make this slight adjustment and throw that ball." And he's saying, the Jesus is saying to us, I paid the price. I suffered what you don't have to suffer. You'll never go to the cross. You know, sometimes we keep thinking we need to be like Jesus and suffer. Listen, there is a suffering. The Bible says that there's a suffering not finished yet, you know, in Colossians. But that part of that is the suffering of just experiencing you and I going through life, experiencing what? The power of God living mightily within us, speaking out of us. Who loses when you and I don't step into the authority that God gave us? Well, I'm just not that good. Boy, have you ever seen a coach fire up? Get a coach that believes in you and you walk away with your head down saying, "I just can't do it." Man, they make movies out of this nonstop, don't they? "You can do it." Why? Because he actually knows that you can. And when you and I stay this humble pie, I'm blessed. I don't need anything. I don't need to prosper. I don't need to. I'm just so grateful to be alive. It's like, who suffers? The team does. What's the plan? The plan is, the time has been fulfilled for everything to come together in heaven on earth underneath Jesus. That's the plan. It may blow some of your end-time theology away, but let it blow it away. The plan is, I'm going to sit here in heaven. I've left. You take my authority and build this kingdom. Win, go highways and byways and get people to believe in me. Teach them the truth. And we're going to put it all together and then get rid of the evil one forever. It's a game plan to win. not to lose. It's a game plan where we win, and he doesn't come back till we win. So let's rise up. You say, well, I just don't know if I got it. You don't. I don't think I can do it. You can't. Well, I'm just so afraid. You are. You're the biggest chicken there ever was. Well, I'm just weak. Yeah, absolutely. As long as we're defining that, that's your old man, but you got a brand new man. And Jesus saying, stand up. I've got things to teach you. I've got things for you to experience. I got things for you to know. Psalms 19 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Part of it comes down not to everything you're just going to do, but part of it is we win this thing by what we think on, what we meditate on, what we mull around in our minds. And I can tell you, I no brag, just fact, as my dad used to say, but I'm in this stuff 24/7. I'm not perfect, but man, I tell you what, I'm thinking on this stuff night and day. People say, when do you prepare your sermon? All the time. How long did you put into that sermon? 55 years so far. It's what I eat and breathe. I'm still got my flesh, don't get me wrong. In fact, I think, but boy, on one level, I'm up here. But I tell you what my father's saying is, yeah, but the mark is still way up here. I can't tell you how many times my lip and my mind wander off into discouraging things. Not everybody's winning. And sometimes when I get those reports, it takes me down. But I've got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. What are you going to meditate on? What are you going to mull around in your head? I don't know. I hate to bring it up, but it's just the reality of life. I'm going to turn 71 here in a few weeks. That doesn't seem possible. It's not bad at all. It's great. But I'm telling you, choose you this day who you're going to serve, your old man or your new man. You're going to think about being old or you're going to think about being young. What are you going to think? What are you going to make? When the things hit your body and then things start not working, you're going to slide into, well, I'm just getting old, you know, just can't quite bend over like I used to, you know, can't do those wall squats anymore. You know, I'm just going down. Or are you going to think about, I'm going to get about halfway down and stay here for about 5 minutes. That's going to build them quads. Because I got something to do. I got someplace to go. I got somebody to stand for. I got a team that my father passionate for the outcome of this. And I'm going to fire up and get right in there with him for the sake of the whole team. We're going to go. We're going to win. And yeah, I know there's people suffering, but I'm going to ask for more. I'm not going to ask for less. I'm going to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on believing, keep on getting better and better until my last breath. Glory to God. Why? Because I'm not going to insult my Father's love for me. I'm not going to speak evil of the Holy Spirit that did all this for us and then say it's not good enough. I'm not going to submit to the elementary principles. You can read Galatians. I won't read it today. But Paul says, why are you submitting yourself to the elementary principles of this world that just says, well, this is what you got. You got cancer and it's not curable. You got this and it's never going to work. You got this and you're just getting old. Well, you just got to submit. You got to agree to it. Why are you submitting to these elementary principles? Why are you still doing this crap when the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has won the victory for you? And he said, meditate on these things. Speak the truth. I've given you authority. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? I don't know if you needed encouragement today. I sure did. And again, we can either take a word and condemn us, or we can take a word and walk in the truth. To him who does not take care of his own, and provide for them and excel them. He's worse than an unbeliever. Is our Father worse than an unbeliever? No. Our Father takes care of His own. These words come out of my mouth daily. I pray that you find your words that keep you renewed and everything else. But I don't know how many times it comes out of my mouth, but when I start feeling fear, when I start feeling discouragement, when I start being confused, most of the time what comes out of my mouth and what's in my heart, I say, I belong to you. I belong to you. That's kind of my chain. You know, when you grab the chain at the right place and you start pulling it out of the bucket, everything follows with it. It's when I say, I belong to you. I belong to you. You know, the little vision that God gave me of a wolf looking down at that little baby, and that baby was me, and that little baby was you. And the passion of our God is He's got a wolf-type mentality about protecting you, watching you, guarding you, nurturing you, and training you. He's passionate about it. One thing about a wolf, it just looked a little bit passionate to me. And when you say, I belong to you, what you're saying is, Lord, boss, master, king, whatever you say is the truth, not my experience. You told me to go in authority. I'm going to go in authority. You told me to go by your power and your grace, not by my mind. I'm going in your strength, not mine. You know, when I say I belong to you, I've never said I belong to you and start meditating on that where I don't feel the power to say, now be gone, Satan. Sickness, disease, be gone. Poverty, be gone. Lack, be gone. Bad attitude, be gone. Father, I thank you that we belong to you. And Father, you take care of your own. You take care of your own. No hair on their head will be harmed. You've empowered them to win in every situation. And we accept this. We accept this as truth. We renounce our earthly, elementary teachings and practices and just say, but we stop saying, I'm only human. We start saying, I am Holy Spirit, wall to wall. Powerful as all the kingdom of God is residing in me. That's the truth. That's who I am. I do have this old flesh I have to keep buffeting. But I am a child of God that cries out, Abba, Father. Protect me. Nurture me. Train me. And let us run together this race and finish the game plan to your honor and to your glory, our Most High King, Jesus. Everybody said, so be it. Amen. Man, expect the unexpected this week in every area of your life, and you'll see it. God bless you. God bless you.